الإيمان ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد وأجود من سئل وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية، والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت، والدين ما شرعت، والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وأجلى الله به الظلمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him. And we bear witness that there is no deity but Him. There is no owner of the attributes of greatness except Him. There is no creator except Him. There is no almighty except Him. There is no controller and king and lord of heavens and earth except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cry and pray to Him and say, O Allah, if we do any mistake, if we make any mistake, it's not because we deny you any of these attributes of greatness that you will deserve. It's not because we are not admitting or believing or confessing that these, you are the only owner of these attributes of greatness, Allah. It is because of the weaknesses of our heart. It is because of our temptations. It is our temptations has taken over us. It is because we have made a mistake. We have forgotten. We fell into that state of mind of forgetfulness of your greatness, Allah. And this is what made us make the mistake, Allah. But we repent and we declare and confess and admit that you are the only owner of the attributes of greatness. You are the only one that should be worshipped. You are the only one who can claim these attributes of greatness in heavens and earth. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And Prophet Isa, Jesus peace be upon him, is also his messenger. And all these, we bear witness that all these prophets came to deliver the same message from Allah. Message of righteousness and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for a specific mission on earth, for a specific purpose, for a specific representation that He has declared in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. I am creating on earth a creation that is going to represent my attributes of beauty on earth, represent my manners on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the attributes of greatness that only He can own and only He can claim, and anybody else who claims these attributes, Allah will break him, destroy him and crush him. As He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Azamatu Izari wal-Kibriya'u Rida'i man naza'ani fihima qasamtuhu wa la ubali. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, greatness is my clothes, glory is my gown. Whomsoever tries to share them with me, I break him, I crush him, I destroy him, and I don't care. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only owner of these attributes of greatness. The Creator, the Almighty. Nobody else is. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the attributes of beauty, which is the most generous, the most kind, the most forgiving, the most merciful, the fair, the just. All these attributes of beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to adopt them as our manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the manners of Allah that Allah wants us to adopt them on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, He wants us to be generous with one another. He's kind, He wants us to be kind with one another. He's fair, He wants us to be fair with one another. He wants us to be real life representations of these manners on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for the purpose of taking these attributes from being just abstract words that has no implementation of the land of reality, and make them real life governing principles and values. Build our life on them. Build our values on them. Basically, make decisions based on the moral values and the manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make a decision, when we take an action, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the freedom to choose where to go and what to do, when we are making these choices, choosing where to go and what to do, what to support and what to say, when we are doing that, when we're making our choices, we make it so that we are representing the manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. We don't do it based on selfishness and greed and other evil temptations that we have intrinsic inside us, and jealous and love of power. We don't follow these manners of the Satan, but we follow the manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for this specific representation, He provided us with the tools that we need to get the job done. To get our job done that He has created us for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with level of exposure to Himself, exactly the level of exposure that we need to get the job done. Not more, not less. One of the tricks of the Satan that he uses is that he says, if there is somebody out there, let him touch your back. And he also says, if there is God, then where is He? Why can't we see Him? And indeed, the argument that Allah does not exist because we can't see Him doesn't fly. Because there are so many things that we don't see, but they do exist. For example, just as an example, the germs that we can't see by our own naked eyes, and before the invention of microscopes, we couldn't see, yet they exist. So, and so many other things, they do exist, but we can't see them. But the argument that, and saying, some of them say we belong to the show me state. Show me state means if there's a God, show this God to me and then I will believe. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wisdom did not make Him display Him, did not make Him expose Himself to us in such an explicit way. First of all, because it's going to harm our physical existence. There was one of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was given a special favor from Allah. Actually, two special favors. One favor is that he was receiving revelations from Allah because he was a prophet and a messenger. And the other favor that he was given over all other messengers, that he was able to talk to Allah directly, which is Prophet Musa alayhi salam. This Prophet, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does grant unique favors to some of his slaves nobody else will get. Such as, for example, Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he said, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. Oh Allah, forgive me and grant me royal powers that are never going to be given to anybody after me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his request. So Musa alayhi salam did get two of those special favors. One of them is not given to anybody else, which is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was in so much love with Allah that his love blinded him. Because love sometimes leads to some kind of misguidance. And he made him make a request to Allah, Oh Allah, let me look at you explicitly. Oh Allah, I want to see you. قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِينِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. I want to see you, Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, okay, you're not going to get what you want. لَن تَرَانِي. وَلَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. Look at this big, huge mountain made of solid rock. وَلَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If I'm going to expose myself to the mountain, if this mountain will stand, then you can see me. Okay? But if the mountain doesn't stand, then you know the answer. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed Himself to the mountain crushed into dust in no time. This huge, big, tall, wide, deep mountain, crushed and do nothing in a blink of an eye. And indeed, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he saw such a thing, he passed out. He was like, وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَائِقًا. He was like electrocuted. And he passed out. He couldn't handle such a scene. You know, and then when he wake up, فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَكَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ. He said, Oh Allah, I repented to you. I repented to you from making such ignorant, unauthorized request. Of course, to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he should have knew better than that. He should have known better than asking to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued further to teach him the lesson. He said, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي وَبِكَلَامِي فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. O Musa, I have chosen you over others and granted you favors that nobody else got. The favor of receiving revelations from me, receiving the Torah, and the favor of being able to communicate directly and talk to me. So take whatever I have given you and be among the thankful ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in Surah Al-Isra that it is not lack of messengers that is making us go astray. It is not lack of messengers. It's not lack of Qur'ans. It is not lack of prophets. It is not lack of these things. It is lack of interest that is making us do wrong things and go wrong. It is not lack that whatever level of exposure that we have, whatever number of books that we have, or the Qur'an that we have, the guidance of Prophet Muhammad is enough. And any more exposure than that is going to be a liability, not an asset. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. That the only reason I am not sending those miracles, we know Allah is governing this earth using the laws of nature. So anything above and beyond the laws of nature is called a miracle. Such as, for example, the birth of Prophet Jesus. Laws of nature says two people have to remarry, a male and female, to produce a child. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was able to produce a child without a man from Mary. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. And even the prophets sometimes wonder about these miracles and don't believe them, because we think that these laws of nature are in control of Allah. But Allah comes to tell us that I am the creator of these laws of nature. I am in control of them, they are not in control of me. So remember Surah Maryam, when Allah told her through the angel that you are going to have a baby boy, she said, How can I have a baby boy if I wasn't touched by a man and I'm not doing any shameful things? So he said, كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. This is the word of Allah. He said that, and remember, he wanted to make him as a sign for the people. And he wants to make him, to show him as a sign, he has a job, he has a purpose, there is a purpose from his creation. And it is not difficult for Allah. Zakariya, in the same surah, when Allah told him, you're going to have a baby boy, and he was very old man, and his wife was a very old woman who was never able to bear children when she was young. He said, Allah, how can I have a child? If you can see me, I'm not able to produce sperms like that, and my wife is not able to bear children. This is impossible. Allah said, قَالَ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكَ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنْ وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ تَكُ شَيْئًا. This is the word of Allah. When Allah says a word, it will happen. And I have created you before you were nothing. Why are you surprised? Why? You have seen with your own eyes that you exist now and you were nothing before. So the one who has the powers to create you from nothing, why do you think then it's hard for him to create a baby boy from, you know, two old people, two elderly people? Why do you think it's hard for him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already demonstrated enough power to us. Look around you and see and be wild about the power that Allah has created. You know, we go to the museum and get so wild about a painting, wild about a gifted artist who does a cheap painting with a cheap color and a cheap paper, and we're not wild about Allah, the creative one of heavens and earth, Badi'u samawati wal ard, who made that painting a real life object. We wowed about an artist who carved from the stone and the wood, and we're not wowed about the creator of heavens and earth who made a real life tree, a real life sophisticated human being, a real life walking, thinking, talking human being. And we are wowed about the artist, we're not wowed about Allah. Allah has already demonstrated enough power in His book of created universe. The book of the created universe, Allah has already demonstrated enough power to show that nothing is difficult for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing. Everything for Him is equally easy. If He has created heavens and earth before, and you can verify that by looking around you, then why do you think it's hard for Him to recreate it again? Actually, the second time, according to our human limited logic, is easier. But to Allah, they are both equally easy. And He said in Surah Ar-Rum, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ, that it is, He's the one who creates for the first time, and then will create you again for the second time in the Day of Judgment, and it's easier for Him. Because if you show me that you can do a mathematical problem the first time, why would I ever think that you won't be able to do it for the second time? Definitely, it's using our limited logic, it's easier for the second time. So why do you think that Allah, that created this heavens and earth, is not going to be able to give you a baby boy, Maryam? Is not going to be able to give you a baby boy, Zakaria? And indeed, Allah demonstrates power over these laws of nature. So when these laws of nature are broken, and we get to see the miracles, we are held accountable to a higher degree of responsibility and to a lower degree of tolerance. One of the names of Allah is Al-Halim Al-Sabur, the most tolerant, the most patient. This level of tolerance comes with the fact that we are unable to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly. Let's assume, for the sake of discussion, that somebody is able to disobey Allah when he can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eye to eye, which is impossible. No one will ever dare. The glory of Allah will not let anybody able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he can see him eye to eye, when Allah so explicitly exposed. Let's say for the purpose of discussion that someone somehow is able to do it, then would Allah allow him? Would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow such a thing to happen in his presence? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present and we can see him physically eye to eye, then would we be able to disobey him? Man, if the police is present, you wear the seat belt and you don't break the traffic light. Policeman, you're afraid of the policeman. Then in order for us to have the free will, to have the room to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to enjoy tolerance, Allah has to be, you know, covered from us so that we can see him eye to eye and explicitly. If we get to see the miracles that Allah has created, just the miracles, then we are held accountable to these to this exposure. The people of Al-Ma'idah, at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, the disciples of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, they told him, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, can your God, can your Lord bring us down a table from heaven? Prophet Isa said, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, fear Allah, be careful what you're asking for. You're asking for a liability. You're asking for your own destruction. You will be held accountable to a higher degree of accountability. You will be expected to meet a higher expectation if you get to see the miracle by your own eyes. And you will enjoy much less tolerance. Be careful what you ask for. They say, نريد أن نأكل منها وتطمئن قلوبنا ونعلم أن قد صدقتنا ونكون عليها من الشاهدين. We want to eat from it, and we get that feeling that you get when you see a miracle with your own eye. You have this feeling that shakes your heart and your eyes cry when you see a miracle. So they said, we want to eat from it and we want to get to enjoy that feeling. And we want, it's a demonstration that you didn't fabricate anything. You're really saying everything true. And also become witnesses and tell everybody else that we have witnessed that. And become witnesses for Allah's power on earth. So, Isa alayhi salam turned his face to Allah and he said, Oh Allah, bring this table to us, and it's going to be a feast for us. We're going to celebrate it. It's going to make us happy, and it's going to serve your cause. With limited understanding, Allah said, fine. But the condition is, قال الله إني منزلها عليهم عليكم فمن يكفر بعد منكم فإني أعذبه عذابا لا أعذبه أحدا من العالمين. Here's the condition. You get it? But if any one of you commits an action that implies denial of my attributes of greatness, then he will receive a punishment, and the worst punishment of hellfire. No one else in the whole heavens and earth will receive a more painful and the worst punishment than the person who's going to disbelieve after seeing this particular miracle with his own eyes. And they did. They did commit an act of denial to the attributes of Allah. What happened is that Allah said, eat from it, I'm going to send it, trust me. I am the Lord, and of course Allah deserves to be trusted. So he said, I am the Lord, trust me, I'm going to send it to you every day. Eat, drink, and don't store. Don't store, it's going to come down every day. So the shaitan came to them and he said, well, yes, Allah would send it if you stay righteous, but among you are wicked ones. And those wicked ones would do something goofy that will disobey Allah one way or another, and then Allah would get upset, and he would go in to prevent the table from coming down. Just like he did with the rain. Well, remember when he held the rain? He held the rain as a punishment, yes. To just a couple of two bad people among you, you know, he held the rain for days and weeks. Okay? So what do you think about the table? The table is more valuable than the rain. If among you are bad guys, they are going to do things and the table are going to be held. So store. Don't just eat, store, because it's not going to come every day. And they did. They did commit this act of denial to the trusting the word of Allah and following it, and they trusted the word of Shaitan and followed it. And then they were doomed to the worst layer of hellfire. And this is why Allah is saying, if I send you more miracles, it's just going to be a liability against you. You're going to be held accountable to a standard that you cannot rise up to, a level that you can held accountable to that you cannot meet, and a much less tolerance. And we need a big role of tolerance because we're weak. But you are once seeing the miracle, that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only thing that's not letting me to send down these miracles is that I know the people before you already got miracles and they denied it. And as soon as the miracle was denied, they were destroyed right away. And then Allah said, look at the people of Thamud. We gave them the she-camel, Mubsara. They can see it. It's walking among them. It's a physical animal they can touch and interact with. They milked it. They drank. All the town drank from the milk of the she-camel. Miraculous she-camel. Unbelievable. Walking among them. What happened? Did it have them become believers? No. Because the problem is not lack of miracles. The problem is not lack of Qur'ans. The problem is not lack of my exposure. The problem is lack of interest. That is the problem. That's the problem. It's a conflict of interest with the righteousness. It's a conflict of interest with the representations of the manners of Allah on earth. It's a conflict of interest. That's the problem. That's the real problem. There are people who don't want that. You know, the children of Israel, after seeing 9 miracles from Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and for their eyes, for the sake of their eyes, Allah had cut a dry road in the middle of the Red Sea so that they can cross. And they have seen that with their own eyes. And when they crossed on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the sea on their enemy and destroyed their enemy. And they are watching and witnesses all of that. They had the Prophet, a messenger of Allah, walking among themselves. And he is reading the Quran to them. He's reading they are hearing the word of Allah fresh, not frozen, fresh from the mouth of a Prophet who lives among themselves. Okay? And after all of that, they come and they say, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. They, Allah is telling them in Surah Al-Baqarah, reminding them, remember when you told Musa, after all of that, we are not going to believe into you until we see Allah explicitly. فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. They were immediately struck by a thunder strike, struck by a lightning, immediately and destroyed. Now, if one of us says the same thing, that I will not believe until I see Allah explicitly, then we are not going to get the same miserable thing that the children of Israel got it, because our level of exposure is low. We are only exposed to the Quran and to the 99 attributes of Allah as description and understanding, and we don't have a prophet among us talking. It's not like, remember when the people, the believers, the best army on the face of the earth is the army of the Battle of Uhud, the best army you can ever make.
led by a prophet and the companions of the soldiers. When this army disobeyed Prophet Muhammad, just a group, small group of the army disobeyed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course the punishment came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. Even though the mistake was so little compared to the non-believers. The non-believers have 70 idols in the Kaaba. They are associating with Allah other gods. Compared to the mistake that the non-believers are making, believers made a little mistake, just disobey the Prophet. Compared to the ones who are worshipping the idols, which one is worse? Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a severe, quick punishment to the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed, because you're supposed to know better than that. Because you're held accountable to a higher degree of accountability and responsibility. You have a prophet walking among you. How could you? وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. How could you commit an act that implies the denial of my attributes of greatness when you have the Prophet of Allah walking among you and you're hearing my word fresh from his mouth, fresh Quran coming out of the mouth of the Prophet, not frozen Quran that after 1400 years, fresh Quran coming out of the mouth of the Prophet. How could you? وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ. How could you do an act of disobedience when you have such a level of exposure? So at high levels of exposure, we're held accountable to a higher level. You know, in Surah Al-Furqan, when the non-believers, the ones who have no hope in the Day of Judgment, they say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا لَوْ لَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا لَقَدْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ وَعَتَوْ عُتُوًّا كَبِيرًا. The ones who are ignoring Allah, they decided to live their life as though there's no Allah, as though there is no religion, as though he doesn't have created us for a purpose, as though we have no job to do on this earth, as though, you know, there is no Quran and he didn't send messenger, decide to live their life this way. And of course, as a result, they have to embrace the idea that there is no Day of Judgment. Because if there is a Day of Judgment, it would be crazy to do that, right? So they have to, like, first deny the Day of Judgment, either intellectually, explicitly, or practically, but they have to deny the Day of Judgment, stop behaving in a way that implies that, you know, they have no worries about the Day of Judgment. Those kind of people say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, who has no hope in the Day of Judgment, لَوْ نَعْزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَنَرَى رَبَّنَا. If it is true, then we want Allah and His angels to appear in person to us so that we can believe. We just can't, you know, it's not enough to send us just a man that we don't think highly of. No. We want Allah Himself and His angels to come and appear to us in person and appeal to us and present their case, and we will believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reply was, لَقَدْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ وَعَتَوْ عُتُوًا كَبِيرًا. Indeed, they are thinking of themselves so highly, and they are not. And they have claimed to themselves a status, and they have claimed themselves an honor that they don't deserve at all, and they would never deserve and qualify for. And then Allah further says, يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَا بُشْرَى يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا. They are asking you to see the angels. They will get what they want. They will be a day when they will get to see the angels with their own eyes. However, this day is going to be a miserable day for them. It's going to be a bad news for them. It's going to be a day of horror for them. And they are going to cry and scream and seek a barrier. And seek a barrier, hijran mahjura, barrier from those angels. Because Allah, in this day, it is the day of the where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring them to accountability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know that whatever we have is enough for us. And more exposure is not going to help us get the job done. Many of the creation of Allah, they have used the exposure that Allah has provided. The 99 attributes of Allah and the Holy Quran that is present in our hand and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad. Many people were able to get the job done. The job done using these tools and using this kind of exposure. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. He is Allah subhanahu, definitely they were very successful in getting the job done. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send an abstract text by itself. With the abstract text, He sent a prophet to show us how can we take the words of Quran from being abstract words written with a cheap ink on a cheap paper and make them a real life governing principles and values. Take the attributes and the manners of Allah and take them from being abstract words and names that have no implementation of the land of reality and make them a real life governing principles and values in the real life. Make them, if we look around us and we open the Quran and we compare the Quran, Allah did not just send His book to be written, to be just like that, written with a cheap ink on a cheap paper. Allah wants His book to be a real life superpower, a real life governing nation, a real life, like Prophet Muhammad when he struggled to establish the righteous superpower, the superpower where the decision is made based on righteousness, based on the manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the decision is not made based on materialism, based on selfishness and greed, based on oil, or based on strategic interest, or based on imperialism. No! The decision is made based on righteousness and justice and fairness, where the sword and the power was made to serve the righteousness, to serve the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at him as a real life example and implementation of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see how could he, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was able to get the job done, was able to get the job done right. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a lot of lessons from his life to learn from. Prophet Muhammad had many shortcuts available to him. And he would have used these shortcuts to get the job done. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was an example for us. Was an example of how to use the laws of nature and implement them. Because the laws of nature are among the soldiers of Allah that are available for everyone to be used. How was he able to employ these laws of nature and use them to get the job done and to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how can he do it in such a way where he keeps the balance between what is materialistic and what is spiritual? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to do a shortcut. For example, at his time, there was injustice in the distribution of wealth and power. Very, very, very few people are rich and live in obscene luxury. The majority are starving. And those and life, by the way, is nothing but wealth and power. If few individuals keep all wealth and power to themselves, so the rest will be just nothing but slaves and servants, really. And poor slaves and servants. So there was this kind of social injustice at the time of Prophet Muhammad. It was very, very dominant. There was very dominating social injustice. You can see it clearly and obviously. Now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have come and raised the flag of social justice. Equal distribution of wealth, justice in the distribution of wealth, and justice in the distribution of power. And using this very attractive principle, he would have gathered all the majority of the people. The people who are around him, who are poor and rejecting and saying it's not fair. Why? I mean, those guys, we work hard and, you know, we get nothing. And those guys don't work at all and get everything. You know, masses of people were suffering from this social injustice. He would have gathered them under this very attractive flag and then become a leader of the movement. And then once they are a majority and the rich elites are a minority, so they can conquer them easily. And after he achieves victory, they appoint him a king. And after he appoints them a king, he can tell them, oh, and by the way, I am a prophet of Allah, and you need to say, Allah told me to tell you to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no deity but Allah, and I am his messenger. He could have done that. Or he could have used, the best Arabian lands at that time were occupied by the Roman and Persian empires, just like today, where most our best land are occupied either directly or indirectly by foreign superpowers. He could have raised the flag of, retrieving and getting back the Arabian land from the Roman Empire and Persian Empire. Arabians had only the desert. And then we will have a lot of people supporting him who are so upset about the fact that the land is not in their hand. And then once he recruits them and they fight to get the land back, Then he, and they appoint him a king. Then he says, and by the way, you have to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Or the third way, there was a lot of moral corruption at the time of Prophet Muhammad before his mission. You know, there were four kinds of marriage. The traditional marriage, according to the hadith by Aisha radiallahu anha, the traditional marriage, and the marriage of the red flags, which is prostitution, and the marriage of, you know, seeking an improved DNA, where a man, after his wife gets her monthly period, according to the hadith of Aisha, she has detailed description of this kind of marriage, he sends his wife to a strong man who has a good DNA, and then she gets pregnant from him, and then she comes back, she gives a baby, and he claims this baby as his son, and his son will have the DNA, or actually the attributes and the, you know, the traits of the that strong man. This is called nikah al-istidbar. And then the third kind of marriage, the fourth kind of marriage, was 10 people will come and enter on a woman. They all have relations with her. And when she gets a baby, she calls a person called Al-Qafa. And Al-Qafa is a person who recognizes the similarity of the facial features between the father and the child and says, he's your child, and he gives it to him. And then she said, when Islam came, all these ways were banned and declared prohibited, except and stopped, except the traditional marriage that we are having today. So Prophet Muhammad, and also there was a lot of injustice, and a lot of people were upset of that. And Prophet Muhammad could have raised the flag of reforming moral values and fighting corruption. And then when people follow him and make him a king, he tells them, and by the way, say there is no deity but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is his messenger. He could have done that. And there are so many other shortcuts that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have employed. But look, the way he did got the job done, because this is the way that we should get the job done. Allah, he first had to establish, demolish policy, you know, associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to demolish this foundation and establish the foundation of monotheism. First, to build an ethical life. We all want to build an ethical life. Even some of us dreamed about the utopia, the incredible fictitious city that has, you know, ideal life in it. We all want this ethical life. But how do we get this ethical life? We get the ethical life the way the Prophet Muhammad got it. He wanted to establish social justice, and he did. And he wanted to establish moral values, and he did. And he wanted to retrieve the Arabian land back from the foreign powers, and he did. But based on the foundation of monotheism, the foundation of a supreme judge, which is Allah, who implements the strategy of the stick, hellfire, and the carrots, Jannah and heaven. That's how the foundation of ethical life is built on. He, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wanted the social reform to come be from rich people who love Allah and pay zakah, to please Allah, and they are happy and pleased to give the zakah. And from a poor people who take the zakah knowing that this is the right in that Allah has sent to them, with love and, you know, good feelings and good relationships, one brothers and sisters, one community, they share wealth together. And he wanted people to follow the moral values, not because corruption leads people to be poor and weak, and people wants to be rich and strong so that they fight corruption, not for that reason, but they fight corruption and fight corruption in the moral values to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, and to earn Jannah, number two, and to avoid hellfire, number three. And that was the foundation that the reformation and the moral values were supposed to be built on, and also freeing the Arabian land. Allah did not want to replace, to take a false small Persian god or emperor, or a false small Roman god or emperor, remove them and replace them with a false small Arabian god or an emperor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to free the people from slavery to each other, to become his slaves and be submissive to him, instead of being submissive to the powers and oppression and aggression of one another. And this is the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam got the job done. And there's more to continue about the subject, inshallah, today. After Isha prayer, we will continue, inshallah, but we have to stop now for the sake of the time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. رب أذل الشرك والمشركين. دمر اللهم أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يا رب العالمين يدفع عنهم. اللهم ادفع عن أحيائهم واشف مرضاهم ويا رب العالمين، وتقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء، وفك أسر سجنائهم يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا، وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، فقال جل من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، وأقم الصلاة.
Yeah.